Good morning. Last week, we started a series, and it's going to be a number of lessons on biblical leadership. Ultimately, down the road, our goal, as is God's goal, is for us to have elders. Daryl mentioned, you know, that we've been in this location for a number of years, and we don't have elders. And like Paul told Titus, I want you to set in order the things that are lacking. And that is one thing. I'm very proud of this congregation. I'm proud of the love, the work, the effort that people put into this. But in God's eyes, there is one thing lacking, and that is elders. Don't expect it to be within the next couple of weeks. Don't know when it will come. It will come if we as faithful Christians will follow God's prescription, we will someday have them. I don't want to hasten it up and compromise God's requirements and demands just in order to have them, because that is as bad as not having them. But last week we started a series on biblical leadership, and we looked at the concept, one, God has always wanted and has always expected leadership. We looked at mainly the role in the home, that it is not a foreign concept of leadership. And it started in the home. We're going to look at some examples today in the Old Testament. Bear with me and file everything into the back of your mind. Well, the leadership in the Old Testament, the law of Moses, that doesn't apply to us. You're absolutely right. Ding, 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 ding. Charlie, tell them what they've won. We're not under the old law. We're not under the law of Moses. But what I want to establish is the concept of God's expectations, God's demands, and man's expectation of obedience. One of the people that we're going to look at today in the Old Testament, a leader, is Moses. Moses was one of the greatest leaders in the Old Testament, and we see that he had 40 years of preparation to lead God's people, to lead the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt and leading them to the promised land. God chose Moses, but he had 40 years of preparation. And how did he do that? As a shepherd. How many times throughout the Bible are the leaders compared to shepherds? How many times are God's people compared to either sheep or a family or comparisons that we can understand? One of the things that we're going to see in Moses was he needed helpers. It just wasn't the Moses show. And my way or the highway, it was God's way or the highway. And that God commanded and Moses demanded obedience, not to him, to him through God's word. Commanded obedience. And he didn't want it to all be with just him. His love of God's people was such, and God's plan was such, that there will be leaders after you. You're not always going to be around. And Moses, you know, how many times do we see in the secular world a leader almost wanting to sabotage the work of the up-and-coming people to where it will look back, you know, oh, we needed Moses. Moses wanted, just like Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, you know, you commit these words to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That the godly leadership would just perpetuate itself. That it wasn't about the man Moses, it was about fulfilling God's word. In Exodus 18, starting in verse 15, we see it says, "And Moses said to his father-in-law, 'Because the people come to me to inquire of God, when they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws.'" One thing we see just in this verse, that the people of Israel were coming to Moses, and he was focusing on teaching them God's word. Not as much the day-to-day worldly stuff, but God's word. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do." So important here. The focus is the teaching of God's word, and not just teaching, showing them. As a leader, it's not just lip service. You've got to lead by example. You've got to teach and show. "Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness." The people Moses were going to pick are spiritually mature people. "And place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace." In Deuteronomy 4, we see it says, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God, that you may possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it." You shall not add or take from it. If religious people in the world today followed that one verse, how much less division would there be religiously? Amen. "Not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." In Numbers 27, it says, "Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, 'Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd.'" Moses is realizing, I'm not going to live forever. I want somebody that will lead the people properly. I don't want it to end just with me. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar, the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word, they shall go out, and at his word, they shall come in. He and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. We see a lot of the principle that God wants in just this event. That of passing of the leadership to Joshua. Toward the end of Joshua's life, Joshua had had a great influence by Moses, by the word of God. And toward the end of his life, in Joshua 23, verses 6 and 8, Joshua was passing on the information to be diligent to keep the law of Moses and don't stray from it. To make sure that you maintain the commands of the Lord. And at the end, in the next chapter, in chapter 24, verse 15, he's telling the people, he says, you choose. You have to choose whether you're going to follow God or not. Every man has to make that decision. But he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. That is the leader that came after Moses. The concept of leadership that we saw, Dick read us, in fact, I've used on purpose, might even use it some more. The verse from Ezekiel, verses 9 or 7 through 9 in chapter 23, that leaders, the concept is they are a watchman for the congregation. They are the protectors, the leaders, the guide, the spiritual leaders, and are a watchman over the flock. And we see, so you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die. And you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. That's the job. The watchman can't make the people take notice. All he can do is warn them. But in the process, he may save them, but at least he will save himself. We look at the priest. When I look at the Old Testament, there's lots of leaders. I kind of boil it down. You've got the law of Moses. You've got Moses. You've got the prophets. You've got the priests. And in this final few minutes, running out of time. We might have to go on into next week with this. I'm going to try to get through today on the priest. They were from the tribe of Levi. None others. They pledged their obedience to God. We had a lesson recently about the golden calf. I think it was a Sunday night. Moses came down from Mount Sinai and he was getting the word of God to bring back to the people. He comes back into camp and they are acting the fool. They are dancing around a golden calf that they demanded to be made. We want to worship an idol. Moses comes back from speaking with God personally with his words to give to the people. And this is what they see. And Moses said, "Who's with me?" The Levites joined him. And Moses unleashed the Levites on the people, and they killed 3,000 of their fellow countrymen due to disobedience to God's word. These are the people that are going to be the priest. It's not all fun and games upholding God's word. They are going to be the mediators between the Israelites and God. They will be the ones to offer the sacrifices. We see their main duties is in Deuteronomy 33, verse 10, we see three main things that is going to be their responsibility. It's one, to teach the Israelites the Word of God. It's a spiritual responsibility. Teach them the Word of God. Case closed. They are to burn incense to God on behalf of the people, to burn incense that will be pleasing to God. And they are the ones that are selected to offer the sacrifices. On behalf of the Israelites, they will go in and offer the sacrifices for atonement. Offer the sacrifices, "God, we have sinned." And next week, we're going to look at some of the requirements, the demands. Are we under the priests anymore? Absolutely not. I want to establish, though, that God has always been very clear with what He expects. He's not left us in the dark. He never has. He never will. The things that He's, the kind of gray areas, we have left up to ourselves. God did not give the priest a certain height requirement. He didn't tell them the color of that their hair needed to be. He didn't tell us what color to pick the chairs, which way to face them, what kind of microphone to use. Had he, we would have been limited by those commands. We will look at the requirements and the demands put on the priesthood next week. If you need to respond to the invitation, God has not hidden from us what He requires of us for salvation. He requires us to hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, 17. He requires us to believe in His Son as the Savior. John 8, 24. He requires us to make that confession of our belief to man. Matthew 10, 32. And if we don't make that confession to men, he won't make the confession that we're his children to God the Father. We are commanded to repent of our sins time and time again. Not just one by the way passage reading between the lines. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will perish. Luke 13:3. When the people cried out on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:37, when they realized they were guilty of killing the Son of God, what must we do? Peter responded, repent and be baptized. We have to be baptized. Jesus said it very plain. Very plain in Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But Jesus, what about this? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But Jesus, what about this? He who believes and is baptized will be saved. And then that marks the beginning of our walk with Christ as Christians, and we have to remain faithful until death. Revelation 2:10, remain faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He who endures to the end shall be saved. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you would like to identify with working and working with us here at South Valley, we would encourage you. If you need to repent of sin, don't let another minute go by being separated from God. Don't let another minute go by not being saved. If you're not baptized, you're not saved. It's not my word. I'm glad it wasn't left up to me of what you have to do. Those are the words of God. Those are the words of Jesus. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while we stand and sing. Colin.